A happy and wonderful Sabbath blessing to each one gathered here and those on the phone and those listening to the recording and those on WLMR radio. We appreciate you joining with us in fellowship and in oneness as we seek to worship and praise our God in spirit and in truth. Praise God for another Sabbath to which we can lift our voices and sing His praise. And we're another Sabbath closer to be able to worship Him face to face every Sabbath day throughout eternity. And what a wonderful time that will be. Our opening song is titled Love Divine. And if you know this wonderful hymn, please feel free to take a verse. Love divine, all love's excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every humble heart.
Breathe, O breathe, thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit, let us find that perfect rest. Take away our bent to sinning. Alpha and Omega be, in the faith as its beginning. Set our hearts at liberty. Come, Almighty, to deliver. Let us all thy light receive. Suddenly return and never, never more thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy host above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love.
Finish then thy new creation, pure and loving, let us be. Let us see thy great salvation perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place. And we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
Amen. Amen. Love divine indeed, exemplified in our Savior, and to be restored in us. And praise God for making it all possible. I invite you to please bow your heads and your knees for opening prayer. Our dear, blessed, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for developing the plan of our salvation and for sending Jesus to show us how this plan can benefit us, and for also pouring your Spirit out upon us in rich abundance, showing us how we can live it and indeed make our salvation sure. Father, we thank you for being in our midst, and we pray that you will continue to dwell with us, continue to let your presence be among us in the atmosphere of love, joy, peace, and light be all around us. Dear Savior, we thank you for being here and pray that you will also continue to be here and prevent the devil from entering in, bringing confusion, and preventing a single heart from understanding the truth of your word. And dear Spirit, we thank you for being here and ask that you will continue to lead and guide us into all truth, breaking through whatever barriers of custom and tradition or preconceived ideas and opinions away from us, that only the truth as it is in Jesus may be seen and accepted in our hearts and minds. Father, we thank you that we're a day closer. Thank you for giving us thy written word to be the guide of our lives, the standard of the difference between right and wrong. Thank you for preserving this written word and allowing us to have such freedom of access to it today. And Father, we ask that you will continue to answer the prayers and petitions and requests that have been offered by your followers here in this room or elsewhere around the world. Thank you for knowing the situations that each of the petitioners are going through. And thank you so very much for bringing about your perfect will in whatever area they're asking for help in. Thank you, Savior, for being there and our great physician, bringing deliverance and freedom and healing of whatever afflictions they may be of body, soul, and spirit, mental or physical or spiritual. Thank you for being the great physician and that you have never lost a case that has been placed in your hands. Thank you for letting thy perfect will be done. Thank you that we can rest in your love, knowing that the outcome is the best for each one. And so please increase our faith, increase our confidence, our trust, and our resting in your love, and free us from anxiety, doubt, worry, stress, and fear. And thank you so much for being an abiding guest with us, that all of these things may be eliminated from our hearts and we can truly have that internal peace that you alone can give. So we thank you, dear Father, dear Savior and Spirit, for being here with us, for letting thy perfect wills be done, for letting the truth reign supreme, and indeed for helping us to get prepared for the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his precious and glorious name we pray. Amen. What a Savior. Before we get into our sermon, my thankfulness for your prayers over the information that was going to be released. And to let you know, it has already been released. You can find this new information on our website, lightministries.com, under the Babylon section, and then in the Ancient Babylon link. And there you will be able to find information that exposes ancient Babylon and helps to free people from being ignorantly connected with it in any way. And there are some amazing things that people do not know about the practices and beliefs of ancient Babylon that they find themselves engrossed in today. It's really just astounding. We mentioned earlier about premarital sex being a law in Babylon. And you can find the proof for that particular law and belief there in the section of ancient Babylon on sacred prostitution. Also, did you know that zombies, the belief in zombies that we see so prevalent in the television and movie theaters and even games and so on the internet, that was a belief of ancient Babylon. So if you're playing games dealing with zombies, if you're watching movies dealing with zombies, if you believe that zombies can come from the grave, you are involved in Babylon. So it's quite amazing how much of Babylon is still with us today. So that's the information that we requested prayer on, and we continue to request your prayers that many individuals will be awakened and to indeed come out of Babylon to Jesus Christ. Our sermon today is part 21 of To Love the Lord Thy God, and we're dealing with the spiritual aspect of it. And last Sabbath, we finished investigating into the third of the four different major types of showing your love for the Lord your God. And that third part was love dealing with non-family members. And we learned that non-family members basically represent everyone else in the entire world, including neighbors, friends, acquaintances, and even strangers. And we also understood that the last five of God's Ten Commandments reveal how we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. And when you look at these commandments, they're prohibitions that specifically restrict God's followers from doing different evil actions against neighbors. And so this means that if you keep yourself from doing any of these sins against another, then you are indeed showing true unselfish love for your neighbor and are thus fulfilling God's law, even though you may not have done anything in actions of kindness towards them. So just restricting yourself and not sinning against them is revealing to them love. And not a lot of people realize that. Now, since keeping the commandments is a passive way of showing love, we also spent some time last week examining various biblical examples of how we can express an active, unselfish love for our neighbors, friends, and strangers, while avoiding manifesting the false satanic form of this emotion towards them. And we learned that in all our business dealings, we're to be extremely just and fair, giving all a fair price for what they're selling to us, and not seeking to selfishly and unjustly take advantage of them just for a quick profit. We also understood that we are to love and care for our friends, not just during the good times, but especially during the bad times, because that's when they need our friendship and love the most. We also learned that instead of allowing our friends to continue doing things that we know have hurt us, or that we see will hurt them, whether spiritually, mentally, or physically, we're to lovingly go to them and show them the truth of what they have done to us or what they're doing to themselves, and then help them to change for the better. Regarding strangers, we learned last time that strangers are not just someone you do not know, but more fully applies to those who are foreigners or aliens in our communities. And we saw that God's word declares that we're not to ignore or shy away from or mistreat these foreigners, but we are instead to love them as ourselves. The Bible brings out that we're not to vex them or add to their troubles by making life harder on them or making it more difficult for them to live and work in our community, but we're to instead treat them as if they've lived among us all their lives. And in showing these strangers such an unselfish, self-sacrificing, and godly love, we might just be very human beings. So that is what we learned last time, dealing with love to all non-family members. But today we're going to be investigating into the fourth and last major type of this emotion of love, or the love dealing with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID789.htm. And thank you, dear sister, for putting the link in the room. So quote number one, the emotion of love dealing with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, as we investigate into this fourth type of love, you'll find that many of the very same principles of truth that we learned in how to manifest and express unselfish, godly love to our neighbors, friends, and strangers can also apply in our dealings with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But there's a big difference between these two groups of individuals. Neighbors, friends, and strangers are not related to you as members of your family, and so there's no strong bond of family union attaching you with them and them with you. But this is not the same with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Even though there's no blood relationship between them, yet through their connection with Jesus Christ, there is, in a way, a very strong and lasting bond of family union attaching them with one another. The scriptures bring this out. In Ephesians 5, verse 30, and also 4, verse 25. For we are members of his, or Jesus Christ's, body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For we are members one of another. In Romans 12:5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 14, verse 20 and 27. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. But now are they many members, yet but one body. Now are ye the body of Christ, and members in particular. So these verses reveal to us that each one of us are part of the body of Christ. And each one of us together make up his body. So then this shows that we are closely interrelated with each other in Christ Jesus. So this means that we're all connected together as members of the same family. Because now in Christ, we share a strong bond that attaches us one to another. If you look at quote number two, this strong family bond and union between all those who have accepted Christ Jesus and are in Christ Jesus is also likened in the scriptures to two different ways. The first is likened to a strong bond of attachment in one flesh between a husband and a wife. In Ephesians 5, verses 23 to 7 and 31 to 2. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So we see in these verses that Christ Jesus is the husband of his wife, and his wife represents his church, which is composed of all who have joined themselves to him. So then this means that all church members are closely connected and related with one another in this body of Christ, just as a wife is closely connected and related as one flesh with her husband. So this shows that we are all family members of one body in Christ, and therefore are all equal with each other, irregardless of race, nationality, color, caste, age, or even gender. In Galatians 3, verse 27 and 28. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So that was the first different way that the Bible brings out this particular close relationship between Christ and his people and with one another. If you look at quote number three, the second example in which the scriptures liken this strong family bond of union between all those who have accepted Christ and are in him is in the family relationship dealing with children. In John 3:16, we're told, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In Ephesians 1:3-6, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." In 2 Corinthians 6:18, "And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And then in Galatians 3:26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." So, by accepting Christ as our Savior in faith, then God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ becomes our Father, and we become his children. So, as this is true, since we are now children of God the Father, and Jesus is the Son of God the Father, then we become brothers and sisters to Christ, and Christ becomes our elder brother. We all have the same Father now. So then this further means that since we are all the children of God and are all the siblings of our elder brother Jesus, then we are all closely connected, interrelated, and attached to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. We all have the same Heavenly Father. You look at quote number 4. This close brother and sister relationship between all Christians and Christ Jesus, because God is our mutual Father, is clearly brought out in the Scriptures. In Matthew 12:50, we're told, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, Christ said, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister." In 2 Thessalonians 2:16, "Now the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given unto us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." So it's not just the Father of Christ, it's our Father. In Colossians 1:1-2, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So Paul here, in addressing Timothy as well as the believers in among the Colossians, referred to them as brethren. Revelation 1:4-9. "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ." So John had never met every single believer of these seven churches in Asia, but he still referred of him to them as being their brother, and they were his brothers and sisters. In Romans 16, verses 1 to 2. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. So even though these believers in Cenchrea had never met Phoebe, yet they were to treat her as being their sister, and thus to assist her in whatever need she had. So through Jesus Christ, we are all interrelated to each other as brothers and sisters, because we are all the children of the Most High and members of His royal family, and thus fellow heirs of glory and everlasting life. In Psalms 82, verse 6, I, or God, hath said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. In Ephesians 3, verse 6 and 9 through 11, we are all fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of His, or God's, promise in Christ by the gospel, and in the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we're all fellow heirs of the same body. We're all partakers of God's promise in Christ through the gospel. We're all children of the Most High, interrelated to each other as brothers and sisters. So through Jesus Christ, we're all members of God's family, and thus we're closely interrelated and attached to each other as real brothers and sisters in Christ. But just how soon does this close family relationship begin of us becoming brothers and sisters to one another in Christ? Is it a lengthy process? Is there a time in which we can not believe that one another is our brothers and sisters until a certain level of intelligence has been reached in them? A year or two or three down the road after accepting Christ? How soon do we become brothers and sisters, children of the Most High? If you look at quote number 5, from Acts 9, verses 10 to 20. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. The Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, What? Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. These verses reveal to us that as soon as Saul accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he immediately became a child of God, a brother to Christ, and thus a brother to Ananias and all other Christians. And you will also notice that Saul became a true brother before he had boldly preached Christ to others. So then this reveals to us that it is through our individual connection with Jesus Christ as our Savior and elder brother that we immediately become a brother or sister to all others who have accepted Christ by faith. And it is not by our witnessing of Christ to others that makes us a brother or sister. Direct connection with Christ is the key to this relationship, as well as to our salvation. And it's not by our words alone. So then through Christ, we are all related in a very close fellowship one with another. We are united and attached together in one single huge family with God as our Father and Christ as our elder brother. And this close family relationship occurs the instant we accept Christ as our Savior. But this close attachment to God our Father and fellowship with one another only remains legitimate as long as we remain in Christ Jesus. In 1 John 1, verses 3 to 7, That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we must remain in Christ Jesus to be his brothers and sisters, to be the children of the Most High. Outside of Christ, we're nothing. But in Christ, we gain everything. Now, since all who have accepted Jesus as their Savior and are in Christ are real brothers and sisters, because we all have the same Heavenly Father, then this fact of truth plainly reveals to us that there is to exist among us a greater bond of loving union, and this greater bond of loving union is greater than with the general group of those making up our neighbors, friends, and strangers. So even though we're to love all others as ourselves, yet there is to be a greater bond of loving union with brothers and sisters in the faith than there is with others. So then, as this is true, then there is a great need for all fellow brothers and sisters of the faith to clearly recognize this close family attachment existing between them in Christ Jesus, and to then learn to live as true family members, interrelated one with another. If you look at quote number 6, Jesus Christ, our elder brother, clearly recognized this great need among his followers and siblings to truly live as real brothers and sisters to each other. And thus he then commanded, not requested, not encouraged, but commanded us to become true family members, interrelated one with another, to show unselfish love. In John 13, verses 34 to 5. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. This is a command. Are we obeying? A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this love, shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. This is our elder brother speaking, commanding us. This is our Lord God, Jesus Christ, commanding us. Are we obeying? In John 15, verses 9 to 10. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. These things I command you, that ye love one another. That was John 15, 9 to 10, 12 to 13, and 17. How many times did Christ command us to love one another? More than once. We see here several times. So our elder brother Jesus Christ, who is also our King and Lord God, Savior, Redeemer, Sanctifier, Mediator, Intercessor, has commanded all of his followers, commanded all of his fellow brothers and sisters to love each other as he has loved us. Not to love one another as we think they should be loved, but to love one another as Christ has loved us. So then this means that we're not to love one another as little or as greatly as we feel like it. But we are to love one another in the same full, complete, unselfish, compassionate, and tender way that Christ loves us. And may God mercifully forgive each one of us, me included, for failing to manifest this true, godly, unselfish, compassionate love for one another as he has loved us. Now, since we're all together making up the body of Christ, if we indeed show true, unselfish, Christ-like love for each other member of Christ's body, then by doing so, we are actually showing our love for Christ. Did you realize that? In showing true, godly, unselfish love for every other member of Christ's body, we are showing Christ our love. And in addition to this, we're also showing our love for God as our mutual Father, who gives us the ability to live and move and have our being, and thus be able to show love in the first place, as we're told in Acts 17:28. And if you look at quote number 7, we're told this very thing. From Matthew 25, verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So in revealing godly love for our brothers and sisters in the faith, we are showing Christ this love. It's his body. We are revealing our love for him by revealing love for the brothers and sisters in the faith. But this also has another side if you look at quote number 8. But if we do not show true, unselfish, Christ-like love for each of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and members of his body, then we are actually not showing our love for Christ. And in addition, are not showing our love for God as our mutual Father. In Matthew 25, verse 45, Then shall he, or Christ, answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. So Jesus commands us to love our fellow brothers and sisters in the faith, and in doing so, we are loving the body of Christ and thus loving Christ himself. But if we refuse to love one or more of our fellow brothers and sisters in the faith as Christ loves us, then we are actually breaking the explicit command of Christ, and we are also revealing that we really do not love the Lord. We're breaking his command. How is breaking the command of our Savior revealing that we love him? And if we do not love our Lord by not loving one or more of our fellow brothers and sisters in the faith, then we are actually showing that we hate our Lord as well as our brothers and sisters. And if we choose not to repent of this hatred, but instead continue on in this unloving pathway, what will this growing and festering hatred for our Lord and one another lead us to do? In Matthew 24, verses 10 to 13. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, in keeping God and Christ's commandments, to love them and each other, the same shall be saved. So, dear ones, what will your lack of expressing and manifesting true, unselfish, Christ-like love for all of your brothers and sisters in the faith lead you to eventually do? The scriptures bring out that your lack of love will lead you to express and manifest hatred towards your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you will be led to betray them. And in betraying one or more of your brothers and sisters, you are also betraying your elder brother Jesus Christ, whose flesh and body you're part of, as well as God your Father, whose children you all are. And what's another name for someone who betrays his own family members? In Mark 4, verses 10 to 11, and Luke 6, 16. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him, or Jesus, unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. And Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Now, to willfully betray and turn traitor against your own literal family members, or even the literal nation that you live in and are part of, would make you into one of the greatest enemies of your family or nation. So then the same thing would occur among Christians. You look at quote number 9. If you betray and turn traitor against your fellow Christians in the same faith, then you would become one of the greatest enemies of your own brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as a great enemy of your own Lord and husband, Jesus Christ, and your own Father, the Almighty. This great sin would also show that you are in direct sympathy and league with Lucifer, who was the first great original betrayer and traitor of his heavenly family. And with you then being in union and of one mind with that apostate master and architect of the greatest rebellion against God and Christ and the angelic family this universe has ever seen, then there will be no limit as to how deep into apostasy and sin you will go. You will even find yourself being willing to work in harmony with those whom you know are servants of Lucifer, just so that you can more fully manifest your hatred towards your one-time fellow brothers and sisters in the faith, and thus the holy and infinite Godhead as well, all because of your desperate efforts to exalt yourself as supreme over them, just like Lucifer. And by going to these extremes, your destiny will be fixed for time and for eternity to be in the lake of fire. We're told in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 8. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. We're also told in Hebrews 10, verses 26 to 31. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So this shows that there will be nothing that you can do to avoid being eternally destroyed if you determine to willfully betray and turn traitor against one or more of your fellow brothers and sisters in the faith. And this includes how you might make with Lucifer himself or with any other of his fallen agents. It all will come to naught, and you will be lost. In Isaiah 28, verses 15 to 21, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. Or in other words, there's nowhere to hide. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Or in other words, of a God of love actually destroying the majority of his own creation because they turned traitor against him and his son. And we're also told in 2 Thessalonians 2:8 and verses 10 to 12. The Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And dear ones, to think that all this sad, traitorous, and destructive pathway that ends in everlasting death all began because you willfully chose not to express and manifest true, unselfish, Christ-like love for all of your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We're either going to obey Christ's commands and learn how to truly love one another, or we're going to disobey Christ's commands and we'll truly learn how to hate one another. Which are we going to choose? I sincerely and earnestly pray that not a single one of us here will find ourselves in the lake of fire, but instead find ourselves in the everlasting eternal kingdom of our Lord and God, Jesus Christ, because we've learned how to truly manifest godly love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. You look at quote number 10. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. This is from 1 John 4:7-8, verse 12, verse 16, and verse 20-21. So if we truly have Christ-like love for each and every one of our brothers and sisters in the faith, then God is in reality dwelling in us. But if we have hatred for one or more of our brothers and sisters in the faith, then it is not God who's dwelling in us, but Lucifer is instead the ruling power in our lives. It's either or. Which do we choose? If you look at quote number 11. After going through these scriptures, I hope and pray that you can plainly see that if you choose to obey your Lord Jesus Christ's command to love all of your brothers and sisters in the faith as he has loved you, then by continuing to do so, you are indeed showing your love for Jesus and your Father, and you will indeed be saved. We're told in Matthew 25, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, or those who have done his will, obeyed his commandments, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared. But if you should instead choose to disobey your Lord's command and not love one or more of your brothers and sisters in the faith as Christ has loved you, then by continuing in this unloving course, you are indeed showing your hatred for your Savior and God, your Father, and you will indeed be lost. In Matthew 25, verses 41 and 46. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, or those who refused to obey his will, to follow his commands, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So, dear ones, I believe that you can now plainly see that eternal life or everlasting destruction are each closely connected with this very serious issue of whether we really love all of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ or not. And since this is such a salvational issue, then exactly how are we to manifest and express this true, unselfish, Christ-like love towards all our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus? How is this to be accomplished so that we are not destroyed by hatred? And this is what we'll be investigating into next time. May God indeed open our eyes and understanding that we may examine ourselves and see where we stand on this issue of love. May the Spirit open our understanding fully, prick our consciences, and show us just how far away we are from manifesting the same love for one another that Christ has manifested to us. May we repent of our shortcomings, our failure, our disobedience. Plead to be renewed in the image of God, to be transformed in heart and life and character, touched with a live coal from off the altar, and filled with God's form of true love, that we may begin to manifest it towards others, and thus fulfill the law of our God, because we become just like Him in character. Love. And this is my prayer. What a merciful, long-suffering God we serve. We don't deserve second chances, let alone third, fourth, fifth, and sixth chances. But He's so unwilling that we perish that He keeps the door of hope open and is anxious that we wake up and get ourselves ready. And the Savior's right there to help us get ready. And the Spirit is right there to empower us to get ready. We just have to make the choice. But praise God for that precious choice. And praise God that all things are possible through Jesus Christ our Lord. Even turning hatred into love. It's possible. But not our will, but God's will be done. Our closing song is titled, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have thine own way, thou art the Mold me and make me.
Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way, wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way, hold o'er my being, absolute sway. Fill with thy Spirit, till all shall see, Christ only always living in me.
Amen. Beautiful. Not my will, but thine be done, O Lord. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for not casting us away, but continuing to hold out a better way of life. Please, Father, forgive us for our lack of love, our lack of revealing your true, godly, unselfish love for one another, especially those of our faith. Help us to change. Empower us to do better. Fill our hearts with thy spirit. Renew within us a right spirit. And remove from us the old man or woman experience. Transform us, convert us, that we might indeed reveal your love to others, revealing that you are living within us, and thus bringing about our salvation. Without you, we're lost. But with you, we gain all things. Father, help us to give you more glory and to indeed show the world that we are your followers so that they can be attracted to Christ and become his followers. All because we manifest your love and not any other kind of love. Thank you for making it possible. And thank you, Savior, for helping us each step of the way. And thank you, Spirit, for giving us the grace and strength to change and to live like our Savior. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Sabbath blessings, dear brethren, and thank you, dear Elder Rob, for the sermon truly from the Lord, because my testimony right now is in thanksgiving to the Lord, and because of brotherly love and care and praying and fasting with me, I praise the Lord to say that my mom at around 3 o'clock this morning was able to have some relief. And I know it was only the Lord. I know it was only through prayer. And I know that it is true that on the Sabbath, the Lord answers especially our prayers. It was a small beginning, but throughout the rest of this morning and throughout the rest of this day, she has been having some relief. And that has been from 2 weeks where there was nothing. And so I thank you so much for your brotherly love and care. I know without a doubt of whom my Redeemer is. I know without a doubt that, as God's Word says, sometimes these things go but by prayer and fasting. And it is true, because, as I said, nothing was working, not even the natural remedies. And so I know without a doubt, and I praise Him from the bottom of my heart. And thank you all so much for your prayers, and especially, amen, for because of the brethren praying together, how quickly He answered, as opposed to my shying away from asking for prayers and everything and going through all of that for 2 weeks. So thank you again, dear brethren. I thank you so much. And my mom sends her thanks and love and prayer. She's resting right now comfortably. She was here with me up until just a little while ago. And so thank you again. I do thank you so much. I will break my fast at sunset this evening, but I do thank you so much.
Praise the Lord indeed, dear sister. That is fantastic news. And praise God for revealing that He does indeed care for each one of us, and He does indeed answer prayer. And in this situation, quite quickly. So praise His holy name indeed. And what a relief of mind that must be for you and your precious mom. And praise God for bringing it to pass.
And that's why the hymn was so meaningful, the closing hymn, Have Thine Own Way, because I was reconciled to whatever was God's will. I even prayed right before the relief came that if it wasn't His will to heal, if it was His will that she should sleep now, that it would just be in peace. And as I prayed that, it's like after I prayed that, then she had the relief. And so I praise God for yet one more little time. I know that we are not all here until forever, that we all will sleep one day. But I praise him for yet one more time, and I thank him for the brotherly love of the brethren here.
Praise the Lord indeed. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all might go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Great things he had taught us, great things he had done. How great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But pure and higher the greater will be. A wonder our transport when Jesus will see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he had done.
Amen. Praise the Lord indeed. Wonderful, merciful Savior, compassionate Father, and comforting Holy Spirit. Praise our Godhead indeed. And I have another great praise the Lord to bring forth. My dear brother Wellington has mentioned that he has received the donations that have been forwarded to him from dear brothers and sisters twice now, and that more booklets are being printed there in Zambia and will be distributed soon to hungering and thirsting souls. So that is another tremendous praise the Lord for his merciful kindness.
I like to sing a hymn. It is called "When Morning Dots the Sky," but most people like to mainly call it "May Jesus Christ Be Praised." When morning dots the skies, my heart awaking cries, "May Jesus Christ be praised." Alike at work and prayer, to Jesus I repair. May Jesus Christ Christ be praised. But the night becomes as day, when from the heart we say, may Jesus Christ be praised. The powers of darkness fear, when this sweet song they hear, may Jesus Christ be praised. Ye nations of mankind, in this your concord find, may Jesus Christ be praised. Let all the earth around ring joyous in the sound, may Jesus Christ be praised. In heaven's eternal bliss, the loveliest strain is this. May Jesus Christ be praised. Let earth and sea and sky from death to hype reply. May Jesus Christ be praised.
Well, God bless you also, dear brothers and sisters, and we look forward to fellowshipping with you again. And may God continue to work in your lives and to bring you ever closer to Him, especially for the rest of this Sabbath and in this new week until we're brought back together in fellowship. Another hymn is Wonderful, Merciful Savior. Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and Friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we hopelessly lost the way. You're the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace of hearts always hunger for. Oh, hearts always hunger for.
Amen. Almighty infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace.
heart always hunger for. Oh, my heart always hunger for.
Elder Rob, is it possible, can you bring up Great is Thy Faithfulness? I would like to share the hymn. I don't know if the one in my book might be different, so I'll rather go with the one on the computer. Thank you so much. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness.
Summer and winter, and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto us.
Hallelujah, dear sister. Praise the Lord. Pardon for sin and peace that endureth. Thy own dear present to share unto God. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessed all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto us.
There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky. For Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, while the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul.
Amen. There is music in my soul today, a carol to my King. And Jesus listening can hear the song my soul doth sing. Oh, there, sunshine, blessed sunshine, while the peaceful, happy moments roam, when Jesus shows His smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul.
Amen. Amen. There is springtime in my soul today, for when the Lord is near, the dove of peace sings in my heart, the flowers of grace appear. There is sunshine in my soul. There is sunshine, blessed sunshine, while the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows His smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul.
There is gladness in my soul today, and hope, and praise and love, for the blessings which He gives me now, for joy laid up above. Oh, the sunshine, blessed sunshine, while the peaceful, happy moments roll, when Jesus shows His smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul.
What a fellowship, what a divine meaning of the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, meaning of the everlasting arms.
Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on the everlasting arms.
Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace so with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the Rob, is it possible, can you bring up He Hide It My Soul? I'm going to share it in the room, but I would like to be able to sing it for our dear mommy, Sister Lynn's mommy. Meanwhile, I'm just going to begin.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me.
Be hiding my soul in the cliff of the road, where rivers of pleasure I see. Where rivers of pleasure I see. Be hiding my soul in the cliff of the rock, the shadow of dry thirsty land. He hiding my life in the depth of his love, and cover me there with his hands, and cover me there with his hands. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burdens away. He holdeth me up and shall I be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cliff of the rock, the shadow of dry thirsty land. He hiding my life in the depth of his love, and cover me there with his hands, and cover me there with his hands. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, I'm filled with his fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, glory to God, for such a Redeemer as mine, for such a Redeemer as mine. He hiding my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadow of dry thirsty land. He hiding my life in the depth of his love, and cover me there with his hands, and cover me there with his hands. When clothed in his brightness, transported our eyes to meet him in the clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. I'll shout with the millions on high. He hiding my soul in the cliff of the rock, the shadow of dry thirsty land.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. At the heart's portal he's leading in. For you and for me. Come home. You are weary, come home. Tenderly Jesus is calling, calling us sinners, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies? Mercies for you and for me. Come home. Is calling us. Think of the wonderful love he has.
has promised. Promise for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home.
Truly my favorite hymn, and I'll just sing the first verse, but truly we know that our Heavenly Father knows. I know my Heavenly Father knows the storms that would my way oppose, but he can drive the clouds away and turn the darkness into day. And turn the darkness in today. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure he knows. The storms that would my way oppose. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure he knows. And tempers every wind.
I know my Heavenly Father knows the balms that need to soothe my woes. And with his touch of love divine, he heals his wounded heart of mine. He heals this wounded heart of mine. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure he knows. The storm that would my way oppose. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure he knows. I'm tempered every wind.
I know my Heavenly Father knows how frail I am to meet my foes. But he may cause my will to defend, uphold and keep me to the end. Uphold and keep me to the end. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure he knows. The storms that will my way oppose. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure he knows. I'm tempered every wind.
I know my Heavenly Father knows the hour my journey here will close, and may that hour, O faithful guide, find me safe sheltered by thy side. Find me safe sheltered by the side. I know my Heavenly Father knows. He knows, I'm sure he knows. That storm that would my way oppose. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure he knows, and tempers every wind that blows.
Thank you so much, dear ones, for these wonderful hymns that you've been singing. It has definitely brightened my Sabbath day, and thank you so much for doing so. Are there any other songs that you'd like to sing? Any other testimonies or thoughts, comments that you'd like to bring forth before we close? Please feel free. Again, it's been a wonderful Sabbath, dear ones, and thank you so much for making it wonderful. Thank you for your fellowship and for being my brothers and sisters in Christ, part of the heavenly family of our Father. I pray that God will continue to lead and guide you, continue to be ever close to you, to lead you upward, to fix your eyes on the Savior, and to become more transformed into His image the next time we meet. So keep looking up, dear ones, and praise God again for His healing grace upon our dear precious Sister Lynn's mother, and for everyone else that has been healed by our merciful, loving, compassionate Savior. And until we meet, I'd like to leave you with this next scripture song. Teach me, O Lord, the way of Thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep Thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of Thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto Thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken Thou me in Thy way. Establish Thy word unto Thy servant, who is devoted to Thy fear. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for Thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after Thy precepts. Quicken me in Thy righteousness. Psalms 119:33-40.
I can't let Bob have the last song here now. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face shall I behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. Only faintly now I see Him, with a darkening veil between. But a blessed day is coming when His glory shall be seen. Face to face shall I behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face face to face in all his glory. I shall see him by and by. Face to face, oh blissful moment. Face to face to see and know. Face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loved me so. Face to face shall I behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by.